Okay, let's take our Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3 today. Exodus 3. We're looking at Moses again. I've enjoyed this series already. It spoke to my heart, and I hope it's going to speak to yours. Some of you have already said that it has. And in our discussion today, we're going to look at the second part of the burning bush. Last week, we looked at God's revelation of himself. He had come down to see and what he'd seen. We looked at God's past. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now that's passed to us, but he is the I am. We learned that today. He said, I am that I am. So that's his past. His present is, I see what we're going through. And it shows us God's compassion. He has compassion towards us. He has compassion towards his people. And he does towards Israel. And then he says, this is what's going to happen. And that's the future. I'm going to lead them out. And God was the one that led them out. He led them out so he could lead them in. Lead them in. He's going to bring them to himself. And God did that. So now the Lord is going to give an official summons or an official commission, I guess, or command to Moses to do something. Now, it's not a surprise when God calls us to do something that there's a responsibility that follows. If he calls, he'll commission. If he gives us a revelation of himself, then there's a responsibility with that revelation. And that's what we'll see today. Now, we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to begin verse 10. And then we're going to go through chapter 4, verse 17. But I'm not going to take time to read all of that. But as we go through it, we'll read some of these scriptures. But in Exodus 3, in verse number 10, the Bible says, come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And I love that. I if you were in the Greek class, I'd say, ego eimi. And that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, I am. And when they heard him say, I am, they said, that's blasphemy. Only God uses that name. And that's what he uses here. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, we're going to stop right there. You know, God did not give Moses his burning bush experience merely for entertainment in the wilderness. It's like, you know, it's been pretty boring out here, and here's entertainment for you. No, this is not entertainment. This is more than that. And can I say this? God's word is not just for our entertainment. Sometimes we say, well, I come on Wednesday night, I come on Sunday night to see or to have the preacher entertain me. Wow. Now, some preachers are entertaining, but God's word is a responsibility. We hear it so we can do something. Right. And this is what happened in the wilderness. You know, God said, this is what I want you to do. And Moses, this I'm sending you, and you're the one to do it. Now, as we look at this morning, we're going to see that Moses has a gap in faith. You know, we talk about the faith of Moses, and we see that in Hebrews. But you know, the fact of the matter is, these excuses that he gives, you hear them over and over again, different verse, different time, different situation. But that's what we see here. And it really comes down to unbelief. When God tells us to do something, Brother Paul, we ought to do it, you know, and not offer excuses. Joseph Parker, that preacher from England, said this, man excusing himself from duty is a familiar picture. How inventive we are at finding excuses for not doing the will of God. Yeah. We come up with them, don't we? So Moses, now think about this. 40 years earlier, he had run before God. And he supposed that they would understand that God had chosen him to be their leader. Now, 40 years later, at 80, he's lagging behind the Lord. He's stalling. He's dragging his feet. And I want you to see this morning that these objections, these protests, I'm going to call them the five protests, are really very subtle because they get worse and worse. And when we get down to the last one, it's like Moses says, now send somebody else. I don't want to go. and that's what we're going to see here. So Preacher McIntosh, he said this: how hard it is to overcome the unbelief of the human heart. How difficult man ever finds it to trust in God. How slow he is to venture upon the naked promise of Jehovah. You know what I told Patty in this week? I said, you know what I see about Moses here? I see that he was a man of like passions as we are. Uh-huh. And the Bible says that. You know, while we say, Moses, look at his faith. Well, the fact of the matter is he had gaps in his belief. He had gaps in his faith. And so, you know, I think we can all relate to that, can't we? Yeah. Are there not some times when you have more faith and you just boldly step out, this is what God wants me to do? And other times, you know what God wants you to do, but you, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. We all know, because we studied the book of Hebrews, that that is the sin which doth so easily beset us. It's unbelief. Because he that comes to God, Dake, must believe that he what? Is. He's present tense. I am. Amen. He's present tense. I am. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah. So faith, it comes down to faith. And if there's one thing that I don't want to do, and I say, Lord, help me not to do this, is not to believe. Not to believe. These are days that are perilous times. We've already discussed that this morning a little bit in our prayer request. These are perilous times. And so we must know what we believe, and we need to know to whom we have believed. I know whom I have believed and have committed unto him. I've committed my life unto him. And therefore, I will be bold as a lion. Remember, and I've said this in Hebrews class, if you've heard me say it, preach it. When I know the boldness that I have to come before to enter the holiest of holies through the blood of Jesus. When I have boldness there, and I understand who I am there, and the great place that I have there in Christ Jesus, then therefore I can have boldness here. I can have boldness with men, and the righteous are as bold as a lion. Right. Now I believe we ought to be gentlemanly and ladylike about it, but we ought to tell people the truth. And amen. This is the day when truth is fallen in the street. Yep. And it's got to come back up, and it will come back up again because God's truth stands. It stands. So we see here that we're going to look at these excuses. Now, they sound excusable. I mean, they sound good. But the fact of the matter is they are not. The first protest we see here is in verse 11 again of chapter 3. And we see Moses say to God, Who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I see two things here. I see the spirit, and I see the flesh. But when you try to mix the flesh with the spirit, what do you get? Nothing. You don't get anything. Spiritually, I see humility. You know, the fact of the matter is, we cannot serve God without humility acceptably. Amen. Because we can't. Pride, God hates pride. God cannot use pride. He doesn't. And so we have to have this humility of heart. And I see the humility in what he says, who am I? Who am I? Now, 40 years later, he said, you know who I am? And now he says, who am I? And he says that to God. Who am I? And you know, God never uses people that think they're somebody. I thought about that in Scripture. I thought about Paul. Remember what Paul called himself? He thought he was somebody, and God humbled him, and he said, you know what I am? I'm the least of the apostles, and I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. That's who I am, and that's why God used him. I think about Jeremiah, who said, when God called him, he said, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. Many men whom God has used will testify before they were used, they were humbled. They were humbled. I had a friend of mine who his responsibility at college was to pick up chapel speakers. And some of these preachers were, you know, the ones that we would say, oh, that's so-and-so, or ooh, those names. And he said, you know the ones that really impressed me were the ones who said, I'm nothing.
Amen.
I'm nobody. You know, those were the ones that impressed him. And that is what impresses God. But you know, I see not only the humility, but I see the stubbornness in there too. Who am I? It is kind of like a show of humility to resist. You don't want to send me. Who am I? You know, this stubbornness. I really don't want to go. How many times do we see that in church sometimes? You know, Brother Parker comes to somebody and says, now, Craig, I want you to teach a Sunday school class. Oh, I could never do that. A show of piety and humility, but, oh, don't, you know, I could never do that. I'd like to have you sing. No, I'm not a very good singer. I just don't. You know, you've seen it, haven't you? And you know, really, they're saying, I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
sure. I really don't want to have the missionary in a home because, you know, our home's just not very nice. And you're just saying, I don't want them. I don't want the missionary in my home. You know, I don't want to. We can't give to missions. We just can't. But we can do all these other things. But we can't right now. You know, a show of humility. But we should never use humility or a pious humility as an excuse for not serving God. God knows what he wants and we are to serve him and to do it. So God is graciously going to lead Moses along. Remember what I said before. When we're new in Christ and when we meet him at the first time, sometimes God is more gracious with us than at other times when we've known him for years and we know what he's like.
Yeah.
Then it's not as easy on us. The punishment is harsher. And so God here is being gracious to him. And what he says to Moses is, Certainly, I will be with thee. His presence. God said, I'm going to be with you. I will be with you. So I see his presence here and I see his providence. Moses was not going to face Pharaoh alone. And he's not going to have to face the children of Israel alone. And there's a lot of them. Now remember, 40 years earlier, he thought they should have known that he was the leader. And now, I think in the back of his mind, this comes out. He's thinking, I remember the first time. I remember it. So God says, my presence will be with you. And I'm going to be with you. The greatest thing that we ought to want of all the things in the world is the presence of God.
Amen.
And I'm not just saying I know that I'm saved, but I know God's hands on my life. I know God's using me. I know he's moving me in a special way. We all ought to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember Moses, when the Spirit came on those ones that were chosen to be leaders with him, and Joshua comes back and says, wait, there's two guys in town, Eldad and Medad, that are prophesying in the camp. Tell them to stop. And Moses said, no, I wish everybody had the Spirit of God on them.
Yep.
And the great thing is that we do have the Spirit of God on us because he said, I am with thee. How long? To the end of the age. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you. And lo, I'm with you. I am with you. And so he is with us. And he says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. My, we need that today, don't we?
Yep.
The reason why we are fearful, the reason why we don't take a stand at work or wherever is because we don't remember who's with us.
Come on.
The Lord is with us. And therefore, I have no reason to fear. I'm not to fear man. The fear of man brings a snare. Oh, I better not talk here. I better not speak up. I better not say anything because they might. No. That's a snare.
Yeah.
When we fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord brings a boldness and brings a, it's not a, you know, in your face kind of boldness, but it is a boldness to tell the truth, to speak the truth in love. And that is what we need to realize, that his presence is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Never, never. It may look like the circumstances are horrible. It may look like he's left us. And believe it or not, here in this chapter, when God said, when you go, I know they're not. I know they're not. And he's basically saying, I know it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. And by the way, doing the will of God is never easy.
Amen.
When God calls us to do something and he commissions to go, it will not be easy. But my presence is with you.
That's right.
My presence. And then he gives him another token. not only is my presence with you, but here's a providence. And the providence is that here's the token that I've spoken with you, that I'm going to bring you back to this place where I've spoken with you. I'm going to bring you right back here to Mount Horeb, where I've spoken to you. That's a promise. And that is definitely a promise. And so God promises that he would direct providence so that Moses and the Israelites would be there. Now, again, it doesn't mean it's not going to have difficulty. Look at verse 19. God says to him, and I am sure, when God's sure, we know it's sure, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And he tells him how he's going to do all that. He said, I know it's going to be hard and difficult, but I'm going to get you through it. You know, there's things in your life and my life that come. And we say, I don't know, can I get through this? This is hard. I don't know what it is. Maybe right now some of you are going through some things in your life. And you're wondering, am I going to get through this? Well, the fact of the matter is, yes, you will get through it. And yes, God is going to finish what he started in your life. And the end is he is going to take you out of this world. And he's going to bring you into his presence. Bring you into something greater, far than we can ever imagine. Better than this world. A better one. It is going to get better. And though it seems like it's, you know, when we're going through difficulties and we're going through hard times, it seems like there's no end. It seems like, will this ever get over? Yes, it will. It will. And God will bring you through. So this is what I see about Moses, how God counters his, who am I? You know, he says, you got me, and I'm going to do this. I will do this. Now, Moses then goes on and gives a second protest. And the second protest we see here when he says, you know, what is, when they ask me who sent you, what's his name? What shall I say to them? Who are you? He expresses inability to answer, who is God? Now we know every name the Lord gives us is an indication of his character, what he is like. And so God gives him this name, and it is the I am. I am that I am. What does that mean? I'm eternally present. Yeah. I have no past. I have no future. I am. I am the past and present. I am the present. Amen. I'm the present tense God. And so he says, I am. He reveals to him this name by which in it we find the unity of God. Because Jesus uses this in the Gospel of John. Who are you? He said, I am. And I've already mentioned that. The unity. Jesus is God. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of the forever. That's his unity. We say there's one God, and he manifests himself in three persons. They all agree in one. That's his unity. But it also shows us that he is unchangeable. His immutability. He never changes. He's always the same. So he says to Moses, this is what I said, and this is the way it's going to be. And I'm not going to change. Wow, that's a rock. That's something you hold on to. In this day and age when there's changing and everything's changing and we're throwing out truth and accepting untruth and saying the untruth is truth. Whoa, that's shifting sand. There's no truth. Get your feet on the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Plant your feet in the Word of God because you won't. It is right and it is truth and it will stand forever. So it also shows us the self-sufficiency of God. He doesn't need anybody else. I am. He didn't need any help. I am. Wow, when you get a hold of that, think about this. Yeah. I have the I am with me. I have somebody that's not going to change, that's stable, that's forever, and he needs no help. He's his own equivalent. I am that I am. I am my own equivalent. Wow. Some of us, there's people that are greater than us, you know, but God, there's no equivalent. He is the equivalent. He is the I am. There's none greater than him. I love it when God says, I've searched through heaven. I searched and I tried to find another God and there's none. I'm the only one. So the devil's not a God. No, he's created. He wants to be king and God's going to let him be king for a little while. And he's going to have his son called the Antichrist. Oh, but how long? A season. A season.
Right.
And that's it. And then it's over for them. So God is God, and He is the Eternal One. I am forever. This is my name forever. That's what he tells him. But then we come to the third protest that Moses has then. In verse number 10, in verse number 10, we heard God say to Moses, the first part of that verse again, he says, come now, come now.
Yeah.
Right now, come now, therefore. And then after these first two protests, God says in verse 16, go. It's like Moses is dragging his feet. Given these excuses, he said, now I want you to go. It's time to go. It's time to do something. Time to get active. Let's get moving. Moses is stalling. God wanted to stop his stalling.
Yeah.
For those of us who have children, let me just remind you a second about stalling. You know this about stalling, right? Morgan, did you? No, I had to. Right? Excuses. And don't we get tired of the excuses, Craig? Yeah, I told you to do it. Now, let's get, what's the next word? Going, thank you. Let's get going. Let's move. Do you not see the Father in God? Moses, it's time to go.
Yeah.
You can wait around all you want to, but I've told you to do this. Come now.
Yeah.
I've given you these promises. Now let's go. Let's get going. Let's get moving. I think my kids thought that was their name as we grew up. It's got time to go. Let's go. Let's go. And that's the way sometimes a ministry is, you know, let's get going. But God says, let's go, Moses. And so he gives Moses some specific instructions here in verses 16 through 22 about all of what was going to happen. We're not going to spend time on that because I'm really looking at this morning the protest of Moses. After God says all this, come and go. And by the way, there's one thing that I want you to see here in verse 18, though. He says, and they shall hearken to thy voice. He's talking about the children of Israel. They shall hearken to thy voice. Now, after he says all that, and he says, they're going to hearken to your voice. Look at the third protest, chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but, isn't that like us? But behold, he even puts that godly word in there. Behold, listen to me, God. That's what he's saying. But listen up, God. They will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. Wait a minute. Didn't God just say just a minute ago, they shall hearken to thy voice? But he said, but behold, what if they don't hearken to my voice? Isn't that like us? We just turn it around. Or we didn't hear it the first time. Right? You know, I often find myself saying, Lord, if you're trying to teach me something or trying to show me something, get my attention so I'll hear it and I'll catch it the first time.
Yeah.
The first time. So Moses here has this protest. What if they don't listen to me? You know, it deals with his unbelief and not his unbelief, but the unbelief of the Israelites. And I really think we all go through things in our lives and it's kind of over, but there's still that lingering. We remember that. And I think that's what's happened here with Moses. He remembers 40 years earlier.
Sure.
And he remembers their unbelief, their rash unbelief. And he says, but what if they don't believe me? It's unbelief because God said they will hearken to you. This time they will. But he's saying, but what if they don't hearken to me? And so what makes his protest so bad is that Moses contradicted what God said. And Moses basically calls God a liar. Do you know what? When we don't believe what he says, that's what we do.
Right. Yep.
That's what we do. When we don't believe his word, when we don't believe the promises of his word, we say, God, you're lying to me. Will God ever lie, Jared? Will he ever lie? No. No, he will never lie, Lynn. Never. God, let God be true and every man a what? Yes, we do. But God doesn't lie. And so God does not lie here. And when we don't believe, we say terrible things about God. You remember what I said when we talked about faith? What does faith do? Faith purifies our life. Faith purifies our tongue. We say the right things about God when we believe by faith. But when we don't believe, We make out God to be the bad guy. We say bad things about him, and that's what Moses does here. Moses says, God, you're not right. That's unbelief. And while Moses' unbelief dishonored God, God still graciously gives him some more things. Yes. You know what? I wonder how many times God has done that for me. The mercy of the Lord, what does it do? To lead us to the goodness of God, to lead us to what? Yeah. Repentance. The goodness of God for Moses here, and give him another thing, should lead him to say, okay, I'll obey. And what does he give him here? He gives him three tokens. He first of all says to him, what is that in thy hand? He says, a rod. A rod. That's what it is. A rod. It was probably a crooked shepherd's crook. But what a history awaited that rod. When you know the whole account of Moses and all that, wow, it was something, wasn't it? And God, of course, tells him to throw that rod down. You know, rod a serpent is always the idea of revolt. And he threw the rod down, and then Moses, you know, he was like some women, oh, it's a snake. And then God tells him to take it by the tail. Now, any of you who know anything about snakes, you don't take snakes by the tail, do you? You try to grab them behind the head, but not by the tail. Somebody grab one by... No? You don't take them. Yeah, definitely. But he grabs the thing by the tail and boop, it goes back to a rod. He said, that's the first token. So we have a rod to a snake and a snake to a rod. It goes back and forth, all right? And then he says, if they don't believe that one, then the second miracle was a theme of restoration. He says, stick your hand in your cloak and bring it back out again. When he brings it back out, it's white, the Bible says, white as snow. Now listen to me, when leprosy gets as white as snow, it is like hopeless. It is so bad. That was the absolute worst leprosy. And then he says, put it back in again. Can you imagine? Oh, and he sticks it back in again. Whoa, you know, that's amazing. So we have a hand here that's restored. Is God able? Israel had revolted against God. They hadn't believed him. And God said, I'm going to restore you, going to bring you back. Yeah. And then the last one that he gives here is the water to blood. And that would speak of retribution. The miracle doesn't turn anything back. The water turns to blood, but the blood doesn't turn back to water. What does that mean? Judgment. Judgment. There's no recourse after judgment. If you don't believe, this is it. This is it. I want you to believe. And so unbelief does not bless. It only brings judgment. So he said, believe. Now, that should have been enough. Moses should have said, okay, this is great. Thank you. Thank you. I will do. I'll go right now. But he doesn't. He goes on. He tries to get out of it by claiming he cannot speak well. Notice in verse, I skipped it here. Okay. He says, in verse 10, Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereforto, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but am of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, oh, here we go, second time, go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And Moses says, oh, my Lord. Oh, this is the... Okay, we'll stop right there. He tries to get out of his calling by saying, I can't speak. I don't have a ready supply of words. Or I kind of get tongue-tied, you know, when I get in a situation, I just can't speak. And it's just, I'm a loss for words. But that's a lie. Because notice what he says. He says, before you spoke to me, or even now, I can't speak. Now, how do I know it's a lie? Because remember the sermon that Stephen preached way back. Yeah, for us it was way back. But in the future, he talked about Moses. What was it? And it's in Acts, I believe it was chapter 7. Yes, verse 22. He says that Moses was a man mighty in words and in deeds. And you say you can't speak? You're not a diplomat? You can't? Yes, you can. It was another excuse. And he says, neither hereforto nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. Before this and since now, I can't speak. Well, wait a minute. He's doing a good job now, isn't he? He's been doing it for several minutes now. He's been speaking very well and trying to get out of what he wants to do. And so he is definitely in the wrong. You see, eloquence is not wrong. But the fact of the matter is, God's work does not depend upon skill.
Amen.
It depends upon the Lord giving him the mouth to speak. It's all about the Lord again. And see, God's response was to go and I will be with your mouth. I'll help you. You'll know what to say. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus told the disciples, did you get called up before people? He said, don't study what to say. And often when we're called up before authorities, okay, now what am I going to say before them when I have to? He said, don't study what to say. He said, a mouth will be given to you. The Spirit will tell you what to say in that time. And it'll be powerful. And nobody can say anything against it. I'll give you my word. Wow. You see, all we have to be is just yielded. Just yield. And just have a right relationship with Him. Be in fellowship with Him. And He will take care of the rest.
Amen.
But how often do we study and have to work? And let me see if I can get this right. And all of that just leads to futility and loss of reward. It's just wood, hay, stubble. When you try to mix the flesh and the Spirit, it just does not work. The Spirit, and He'll give you. And God said, I'll give you that. I'll tell you what to say. But Moses would still not believe that. That wasn't enough that God would say, I'll give you the words. So the final protest and the final thing is this. He plainly tells God to send by somebody else. And that's what he says right here. And verse 13, and he said, oh, my Lord, as if that sounds real pious. Oh, my Lord. He says, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, notice here, God is not happy with this final response. Notice what the Bible says. It says, and the anger of the Lord, and whenever you see that word Lord, that is the I am, that is the Jehovah. Of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You know what Moses is going to get here? Second place. Because God said, Moses, I've chosen you and I want you to go and here's all the confidence, everything you need. But now, you're not going to be the one. It's kind of like second place. He said, I'm going to send your brother. I know he can speak well. Uh-oh. Do you realize what that meant? Moses forever would say, oh, I wish I'd never said that. Because his brother Aaron, what was he? Basically, if you could boil it down, Aaron was a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Moses, we don't know what happened to him, Aaron. He's probably gone up on the mountain there and God's killed him. And Aaron said, okay, all right, just, you know, settle down. Give me your earrings, give me all your gold, and I'll make you the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. That's what he did. And it caused problems. A lot of people lost their lives unnecessarily because of a people pleaser.
Yep.
And then their enemies around them saw, wow, is the God that brought them out of Egypt like this, profane, taking their clothes off and listening to rock music? It was a rock concert, basically. Hail, hail to this calf. And they commit fornication. And their enemies are looking on. What in the world? Is he like that? Is he profane like that? Is it no wonder that Moses said, oh, they broke the law before it even, you know, came. They broke it. They had another God. And they did worse.
Yeah.
Because of a people pleaser. I know he can talk. See, we have to be careful what we ask the Lord for. When he tells us something, we say, but, can I? Because it may not be as good as what it was when God told you what he wanted you to do. And then think about his sister. Aaron and his sister, what do?
Yeah.
They spoke against Moses. And God said, you don't do that. I'll deal with my man.
Yeah.
I'll take care of him. You're in the wrong. And what happened to Miriam? She got leprosy, right? And the whole camp was at a standstill for a whole week while she was put off outside the camp. And what did Aaron say? Oh, Moses, would you please pray for our sister that God will heal her? So God says, I'll send a second man. I'll give you a second chance, but you're not going to like it. You will not like it. And This is the way it is. So often, you know, as I close this morning, we shrink back from some sacrifice or some obligation that God has called us to do. And we try to evade it. We give all the excuses why we can't do that. Well, the fact of the matter is, you know what? We have a lot more light than what Moses had. Because God in these last days, chapter 1 of Hebrews, has spoken by his Son.
Yeah.
Wow. And so when we know what we're supposed to do, and we know we ought to say, I know this is what God wants me to do, and by faith I'm going to step out to do it.
Amen.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I know that he's with me. If he's given me his promises and he's shown me through circumstances, this is what I ought to do, then I ought to do it. I ought to do it. And it brings it down to us. The big one is our just being a witness. That's the one we evade. Well, I can't be a witness. I don't know how to speak, or I can't give out a tract, or we're always backtracking. And God says, I don't want that unbelief. Do it. Go. I'm with you. And the promise is to the end of the age, forever. That's good. So just do it. Just do it. You see, God's trying to lead us out of our quiet homes into a career that may include things like seeing paths open where they've never opened before. Wow. God's leading us out of a quiet thing and a quiet place in our life to places that when we get to the other side, we can sing victory songs.
Yeah.
Look what God did.
Amen.
The horse and rider threw you in the sea. Wow. God's leading us to places where we might have lonely breaks of 40 days alone with God and get to see his glory. Wow. So, like I said last week, if God has you in the waiting room and there's no magazines in God's waiting room and there's nothing there but God, that's a good thing.
Amen.
Because you get to know him better. You get to know him better. And the fact of the matter is, God was leading him out of the desert to a hard place to bring him out to where finally, I don't know too many people that have been buried by an angel. Do you? He was. Mm-hmm. And the honor and the privilege when Jesus was transfigured with Peter, James, and John.
Uh-huh.
Look who's there. Do you see him? Moses and Elijah. What's God doing in your life? Are you just saying, no, I can't? You giving excuses or just saying, whatever my Lord says, I will do.
Amen.
I will do it. May God help us. May God help us to have a humble heart, real, true humility, and say, I will obey.
Right.
I will obey. Amen. Amen. Brother Paul, close in prayer, please.